Throw them books and open them to 276. In just a moment, we'll be singing that song as a means of encouragement to any who would like to make their life right with God. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that we're happy that you're here, and we pray that we can say some things that will encourage you as you journey through life, that you will find it to do things in a way that will be pleasing to God. If you have any questions concerning the things that will be presented tonight, we'll be more than happy to set up with an open Bible and an open mind and come to thus saith the Lord. There are many subjects in the Bible that are of great interest to me. And they are of great interest to me because of the teaching that is found in God's Word about them. Tonight I want to talk to you about a book that, if it is not as important as the Bible, it may be even greater than the Bible. Now you might think, now that's a pretty tall order. To have something that's more important than the Bible. And indeed, the Bible is the Word of God. It's the map way to get us to heaven. But there's another book that I want to talk about tonight that I believe that it's a very important book. And it is the Book of Life. And it is talked about a great deal in the Bible. And tonight we want to examine the passages that pertain to the subject and the teaching in God's Word containing the Lamb's Book of Life. In this outline here, you see the passages that we're going to examine tonight. And don't try to write all those down because we'll go through them one by one in just a moment. But I want to tell you tonight as we begin our study of the Lamb's Book of Life that this is a book that should be endearing to every person upon the face of the earth. It should be a book that all of us desire that our names be written in. And it should be a book that we have given great comfort in knowing that our names have been entered there. And just because our names have been entered there, we must remember that that does not mean that it will remain there. Now this is despite the contrary of what many in the world teach concerning eternal security. But we're going to look at tonight what the Bible says about the names that are entered in this book. And let us see if the names can be erased or can they be removed. I want to begin tonight by asking you to take your Bibles out to your Old Testaments and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 32. And we want to read back an account in the time of Moses. Now Moses has gone up into the mountain to receive the law from God. And while he is gone, the Israelite nation begins to practice and to follow pagan idolatry. And they do that by convincing Aaron to make them a god to go before them. And you know the story that he asks for all of their gold, and he molds a calf. And he tells the Israelites that here is the God that led you out of Egypt. And they begin to make merry and dance. And while he's up there with God, Moses is told by God, you better get down there because the people have left, their heart has left me. And so he comes down and he's quite angry. And he breaks the molten calf, he grinds it in the powder, and then he makes them drink the water. And then he calls for the Levites who go in and take 3,000 of their lives. But I want you to notice in verse number 32, beginning in verse 32. Yet now if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of the book. What I want you to see in this passage is that God adds and God removes from his book. God has the ability to add and he has the ability to remove. On the day of Pentecost, after the first gospel sermon, when the question was asked in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer came to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. 3,000 obeyed that, and in verse Acts 2 and verse 47, the Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Now the Lord adds to the church, but the Lord also can subtract from the church, and if we do not understand that, we can read the seven letters to the churches of Asia in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, where he had some fault against five of the seven, and he told them to repent, or he would come quickly and he removed their candlestick. In other words, he would no longer recognize them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if we determine that we're going to lead the path that God has designed for us to follow, and we're going to go and back into the world that we left, and we're willfully going to lead God in His ways, then God is going to remove your name from the book of life. And that is as certain as it was when He added it. And so, as Moses is told that each one's transgression, each one's own sins will cause his name to be removed. Now, that should be important to us because the sins of another man is not going to make your name be erased. Your name can only be erased if there's something that you do. If something that you're guilty of transgression, then God can remove it. Now, the book also said, the passage also says that God removes those who sin against Him. Now, the thing that's important about this passage is that all sin, first and foremost, is against God. Now, you can sin against me, and you can come to me, and I can forgive you. I could sin against you, and I could seek your forgiveness, and you could forgive me. But you must still take it up with God, because God is the only one that can remove it from your record. He is the only one that can erase it, because all sin, first and foremost, is against God. And when we sin, when we willfully transgress the law of God, 1 John 3, verse 4 says, sin is a transgression. And when man transgresses God's law, he is in danger of having his name removed from the book of life. That is something that God has said He will do if we fail to live up to our end of the bargain. But we also know that the names contained in the book of life are the righteous. Turn to Psalms chapter 69 and look at verse number 28. Psalm 69 and verse number 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. You notice that the righteous are the only ones who are going to have their name written in the book of life. This would lead us to conclude that it matters what you do on earth. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, Jesus said, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, there are many in the religious world that will tell you that your salvation is a separate thing, that your relationship with God is kind of out here by itself and is protected by God, and nothing you do or say changes that promise of eternal life that God has promised you. But I beg to differ. The Bible says that the righteous only will be written in His book. Only those who are righteous, only those who are faithful, only those that have been obedient to His will are the ones who have their names recorded in the book of life. Remember in John chapter 12, Jesus said Himself that you can reject me, you can reject my teaching, but in the last day, my word will judge you. God's word is going to be the standard by which we will be determined if our name remains in the book of life. If our deeds match up with what the Bible has instructed us to do, then our name will remain in the book of life. But if we do not do the things that God says, then we are in danger that our name can be removed. We also read in the Old Testament that the book of life has it, those in the book of life experience deliverance. Turn to Daniel chapter 12 and look at verse number 1. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watches over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Now, what have they been delivered from? What have they been delivered from? We have been delivered from what? We have been delivered from the condemnation of death. We have been released from the bondage of sin. Turn over to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, we want to look at verse 23 and 24. Paul says, I see warring in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You see, we have been delivered from sin. In Romans chapter 6, it says we become a servant of righteousness and we cease to be a bond servant of sin. We have made a conscious decision. We have chosen to leave sin. We have chosen to break the shackles of sin that the death of Christ made possible, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. And we have been delivered from the condemnation of our sin, and we have been delivered from the wrath of God, and the fact of that deliverance is so because our name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have been delivered from that which we deserve by our conduct. In Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 23, the Bible plainly teaches that the wages of sin is death. That means that's what we earn. That's what we deserve. But because of the mercy and the grace of God, we have been released from that condemnation. And being released from that condemnation, we have been placed in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have been delivered spiritually. And our name remains in there and continues to deliver us if we uphold our end of the bargain. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 20, that there is a cause to rejoice to have your name written in the book of life. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 20. Nevertheless, I do not rejoice in this, that the Spirit are made subject, but rather rejoice because your name are written in heaven. From time to time, I get these things in the mail from the Who's Who's people. And they want to put my name in the book of Who's Who's in this book to let people know who I am and the great accomplishments that I've made in my life. I have no desire to be in that book. Absolutely none. You know why? Because I want my name written in another book. I want my name recorded in a book that means more to me than any other book. It means more to me because the one who puts my name in that book is the Lord, and the one that puts my name in there is able to deliver me and bring me into a relationship with Him that one day will cause me to be in eternity with Him in heaven. That is great cause for rejoicing. Salvation is assured to those whose names are written in the book. Ladies and gentlemen, if you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and He opens up the book of your record and He opens up the book of life and your name is recorded in the book of life, there will be a great sense of rejoicing. You will never regret that your name is written in this book. There is nothing that you will ever do. There is no honor that will ever be bestowed upon you that will be greater to cause you to be more happy, more rejoiceful, and more thankful than to have your name written in this book. This book will make everything else pale in comparison. If everybody in this world does not know me, that is okay with me. As long as one person knows me, and that is my Father in heaven. And if He has recorded that name, there is much sense to rejoice and much cause for one to rejoice. But, as with anything with God, there are always two sides of the coin. And we must look at the other side of this coin for a moment. Those in the book of life will be removed if they do not overcome. In the book of Revelation, if you ask for a word that would describe the theme of this book, I think one of the words that might come very close to it is the word overcome. In Revelation 3 and verse 5, it says, He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Those in the book of life will be removed if they do not overcome. Now, what does it mean to overcome? To overcome means to win, to be victorious. To win what? We must win in this battle called life. while we live upon this earth, we are in a struggle. We're in a death struggle. We're in a death struggle between God and Satan. We're in a struggle between good and evil, righteous and unrighteousness. And we are in a death struggle to have superiority over our soul. And in this struggle, God determines that we must overcome in order to retain our name in the book of life. You know what? You're not going to be a pacifist and keep your name in that book. You're going to have to fight. You remember what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. What does he mean, fight the good fight of faith? It means that you're going to have to want it. If you want eternal life and you want your name to remain in this book, then you must fight to keep it there. You must fight the devil, you must fight evil, you must fight sin, and you must hold on to God and His ways and His word, and He will keep your name in that book. But if you do not overcome, your name will be removed. It will be removed because you did not pay the price. You did not meet the qualifications. You did not live up to your end of the bargain. We need to understand. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, passages have meaning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to look at the last verse in the passage. The last verse in this chapter in Paul's great discourse about the resurrection. He begins verse 58 with the word therefore. And he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does it mean to be steadfast? That means to be grounded. That's a military term. That means to hold your ground. That means to stand and not be moved. And then it says to be abounding. That word means to move forward. That means to move in a forward direction. And it says always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because that makes our labor not in vain. And therefore, we must overcome. That equates to something that I think we understand. It's called faithfulness. If you want your name to remain in this book, you overcome by being faithful unto death. Do you remember Revelation 2 and verse 10? Be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. We must overcome. Ladies and gentlemen, God didn't say it'd be easy. God said it is possible. God said it is altogether possible because I will help you. He wants us to be saved, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. He doesn't desire any to be lost. And He's doing everything in His power to make sure that we can overcome. But brethren, we've got to want it. We've got to want it. Because the devil is trying to get your name erased out of that book. The devil's doing everything in his power to get your name out of that book. He counts you as an enemy because your name is in it. And the only thing that will make him happy if he can get it removed. And he can do that if we will allow life to overcome us. And if we allow life to overcome us, then God will remove my name out of the book of life. Now, this is an interesting passage and one that I think we need to give a little thought to. Turn to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Now, this seems to lead credence to the thought of our religious friends that we've been predestined for salvation. And this is one of their favorite passages. But let's see if that indeed is what it teaches. In Revelation 13 and verse 8, it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship Him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Those written in the book of life were placed there before the foundation of the world. And in this text, it says that some were placed there that have not been written there from the foundation of the world. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that God determined that some would be lost and their names would never be written there? No. Does this mean that predestination is true, that God determines who's going to be lost and who's going to be saved? No. It means that God's standards, His conditions, The requirements were determined before he created one thing. And it was determined before creation, before the foundation of the world, that anyone that would not meet that standard, would not live by those conditions, that would not meet those requirements, it was determined before time began that their names would never be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That was something that God determined before he created and made, said the words, "Let there be light." God predetermined that obedience was going to be the qualifier for a man to get into the Book of Life. If he would not be obedient, then there would be no entry into the Lamb's Book of Life. God predetermined that. You know, when the Bible talks about predestination, that's a biblical term. And that's a word that we need not shy away from. God predetermined something. God predetermined that he'll save the faithful. He predetermined that he'll punish the unrighteous. He predetermined that Satan cannot make you lose. Satan cannot make you do a thing, and he predetermined that he can't make you do it either. That's all been predetermined. And so we must understand that God's will is that all men be saved, but it is also his will that if those that will not meet his conditions, their name will not be recorded in the book. And if God makes an exception to that, that's his business, but he has given me no information in the book that would lead me to believe that. I don't see him making any exceptions dealing with people from beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. When man has been disobedient to God's will, I don't see God ever making an exception about that. I don't see any record or any example or any story that I can read that when man failed to live up to what God expected him to do, that God did anything but do what he said he would do and punish the wicked and punish unrighteousness. And if he does anything other than that, I know nothing about it because it's not revealed within the pages of the Bible. Turn to Revelation chapter 17, verse number 8. We need to understand that the book is also associated with the Lamb. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and is yet to come. The book of life is associated with the Lamb. Why? Why is it called the Lamb's Book of Life? Turn to John 1 and verse 29. God predetermined that man would need a remedy for sin. He was going to give man free will. He knew that man would make the wrong decision. He knew that he would give in to temptation and yield, and he would become guilty of sin. Therefore, he needed a remedy. And that remedy was provided by God. When Jesus came to John the Baptist, look at verse 29. And the next day, John saw coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." God determined that man would need a remedy for sin. That remedy was to be Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1 and verse number 20. The Lamb made it possible to have our names written in the book of life. If it were not for the Lamb, your name could not be in there. Because anyone that's guilty of sin cannot have their name recorded there. And the only way that man can overcome sin is by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 7, Colossians 2 and verse number 14. And therefore, it made it necessary that the book would ever be associated with the Lamb. We need to understand that that terminology means something to us if we understand the Old Testament. If you remember when the Passover was instituted in Exodus chapter 12, that there was going to be the death of the firstborn. And everything, the oldest child, animal, anything that lived in Egypt was going to die the night that the angel of death came through Egypt. And the only thing that would prevent that was happening is to put the lamb's blood on the doorpost of their house. And when the angel of death, or the destroyer, as some translations refer to him, comes into the land of Egypt, he will pass over. What does that mean? That means that blood caused him to pass over. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that Jesus is our Passover. It is what makes it possible for our sins to be passed over. Now, don't misunderstand that. That doesn't mean God sweeps them on the carpet. That doesn't mean that God doesn't realize that they've been committed. God realizes all of that, but he's made a remedy that we can get those sins erased, that we can get the guilt and the condemnation off our record, that we can stand justified before God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, it says we've been justified by the blood of Christ. What does that mean? That means acquitted. Ladies and gentlemen, the only reason that any of us can stand before the judgment seat of Christ in an acquitted state is because of the blood of Christ. We're all guilty of sin, Romans 3:23. The only reason that we've been acquitted is because of the blood of Christ. Therefore, that's why it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb made it possible that we could have our names entered in that book. Now I want you to turn back to Revelation chapter 20. I've been asked from time to time why there aren't more passages in the Bible about the judgment. And you know, I don't know the answer to that, except the passages that are in there, it gives us a pretty good understanding of what's going to happen. You know, he doesn't have to say a lot because it's pretty plain what's going to happen. In Revelation chapter 20, we have a preview into the last day, the judgment. And I want you to look, and we're going to begin reading in verse 11. And but we want you to especially pay attention to verse 12. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. I want you to notice in this passage, the books were opened. Books is plural. And it says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, that is another book other than the other two books. Now, there had to be more than one book. It says the books were opened, and then another book. Now, what are those books that were opened? One of them is the standard of truth, the standard of judgment. What is the other one? The other one is the record of your life. And it is measured by the standard that is in God's book. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. What books? All three books. By the standard, you were judged by the standard, so that was one book. You judge by the record that you made, that's the third book, second book, and you judge by the third book, the book of life, whether or not your name's entered in there. And what happened to those whose names were not entered there? Look at verse number 14. And the death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life. Now, let me ask you a question. How important is it that your name's written there? How important is it that your name remains in that book? That passage says, written by the inspiration of God, given by the Apostle John, by the revelation of Jesus Christ, it says that every name that is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into everlasting fire. Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, that gets my attention. That is something that I ponder a great deal. Because it is important that my name's written in that book. Now, in Revelation 21, in verse 27, it says, and there shall by no means enter anything that defiles, or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What can I necessarily conclude by that statement? I can conclude that anything that defiles or causes an abomination or is a lie will not be in the Lamb's Book of Life. That agrees with Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. There are consequences, brethren, for your name to not be there. This is not just, you know, you might go and spend the night in a hotel somewhere on vacation, and you might forget to register. They might lose your name, and there's no records you ever been there. But you know what? That's not a big deal. And you know, they can lose your birth certificate. They can lose your Social Security card. They can lose every known fact about you, and it would be like you never existed. But you know what? That wouldn't be a big deal. Might be for your credit. But other than that wouldn't be a big deal. But if your name's not in this book, and it's not found in there, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it will be the thing that you will regret for the rest of eternity. If your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you know, that makes it important that we understand how we can fail to get our name in that book, or fail in having it removed. In Revelation 22 and verse number 19. Revelation 22 and verse number 19. Listen to the words of John. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, and from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. If one distorts God's word, his name will be removed from the book of life, and he'll be removed from the blessings of God. You know what? Remember these old commercials that used to be on TV, and they had this woman out there, and they said, it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. I got one better than that. You better not fool with God. You better not call his bluff. You better not just try and see if he's going to do what he says he's going to do, because at judgment, there's more time to make restitution. There's no more time to change. There's no more time that you're going to get that you made a mistake. I made a mistake. I want to correct it. You're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to. You need to understand that if you tamper with God's word, if you twist it and you pervert it and you turn it in order to fit a teaching that you have in your mind, then you're going to suffer irreparable damage if you die in that condition. I tell people all the time, I talk to people about the Bible, and they take it, they turn it everything but loose. They turn it upside down, sideways, twisting and turning. I don't know how they sleep at night. I watch these television evangelists preach from the Bible, and they give these way unbelievable understandings of passages that have no meaning, no text, nothing, and yet they're smiling, they're happy, they're rejoicing. It's a show. Because I'll guarantee you one thing tonight as I stand here. Every one of those men who twist and pervert the Bible, their name may be written in a church that has 6,000, 10,000, 20,000 members, but their name is not in the book of life. And it's not getting in there. And all their money and all their theatrics and all the things that they claim that they've done in the name of God is not going to get their name entered in that book. You know what I like about God? Because God's going to be fair, and he's going to give man exactly what he deserves. And man can enjoy it now because that's all he's going to get. It amazes me how men and women can pervert the gospel and think that it's doing nothing to their relationship with God. All it is doing is erasing your name from the book that makes the difference. You know, tonight, in churches all across our country and even all over the world, they have an attendance sheet. We have them here. And we have everybody's name listed there. But you know what many of my brethren equate? They equate that because their name's on some roll in some church, that means it's in the book of life in heaven. And it can be. But it won't be if we don't live up to our part of the bargain. God has given us things to do. He's given us things to accomplish. And if we don't accomplish them, there's a consequence to that, brother. And we need to understand that what we read in the Bible, that it means everything whether or not our names are written in the book of life. It means everything. Please take your song books out and turn to the song that's been selected. I have one question for you in closing. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Is your name written there? If you're here and you're not a Christian, your name is not in that book. It is not in that book because you're not in the family of God. You're not one of His children. And you have not entered His body, and you have not been saved from your past sins. And therefore, by reason of what the Scriptures teach, your name cannot be there because only the righteous are contained there. Now, don't misunderstand me. You may be a good person. You may be a good moral person. You might be a good neighbor. You could be a good husband, a good wife. You could be a good father and mother. And all of that's wonderful, and that's good because God wants you to be that. But that alone won't get your name in the book of life. You can be the most reliable person in the world. You can be the funniest. You can be one that everybody loves to be around. But that won't get you in the book of life. That'll get you a lot of friends. That might get you on a lot of registry of social clubs, but it's not going to get you in the Lamb's book of life. The only thing that can get you in there is by doing what God has asked of you. The Bible says that we must hear the word of God and believe in Romans 10:17. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. Jesus said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. In Acts 17, the Apostle Paul told the Athenians at the time of ignorance, God once winked at, but He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. And then we're told the eunuch was traveling in a chariot, and he's reading from Isaiah 53. And he asked, Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I except some man guide me? And then they came to a certain body of water, and he asked Philip, he says, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And he made the good confession in Acts 8:37, that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That agrees with the teaching of Paul in Romans 10:9-10. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. And then we must submit to a watery grave of baptism to contact the only thing that can take away our sin, take away the condemnation and the guilt, and remove it from our record, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is contacted through the waters of baptism, according to Romans 6:3-4, and Colossians 2:11-13. And when you arise to walk in newness of life, something else has happened. Your name has been entered into the Lamb's book of life. And how long it remains there is determined by what you do after that day. If you're here and you're a child of God and you're playing in Christianity and you're just playing the game and you're just going through the motions and you're living two lives and you're doing what you want when you're away from here and you're doing what the Lord wants when you're here, I want to tell you the truth. All the love I have in my heart, your name's out of the book of life. And it's not going back in there until you repent and turn and acknowledge your sin and pray and ask God to forgive you. Is your name written there? And if it has been recorded earlier, are you sure that it is still there? If you are not sure on either one of these counts, it is time that you make sure. And you can make sure by your obedience to the gospel of Christ. And if we can help you get your name recorded in that book, or we can help you have your name reinstated, we're here to help you in any way that we can. And we bid you to come forward as together we stand.